Well, the authority in charge of protecting Australia's largest river system has been accused of acting illegally and putting politics over science. The blistering assessment of the Murray-Darling Basin Authority has been delivered by South Australia's Royal Commission into the Murray-Darling Basin. It found Commonwealth officials committed gross maladministration, negligence and unlawful actions in drawing up the $13 billion deal to try and save the river system. And the Royal Commission has recommended a complete overhaul of the Murray-Darling Basin plan, including reallocating more water from irrigation to the environment. Philip Glyde is the authority's chief executive. Philip Glyde, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
This is a damning report, and a lot of the criticisms are directed directly at you or the authority that you now lead. The word unlawful appears 42 times in the Royal Commission report. The central claim is that the authority failed to take on the best scientific advice as required under the Federal Water Act. Has the authority broken the law?
No, and I'd reject those conclusions in the strongest possible terms, Fran. We haven't broken the law. It seems to me, and I haven't read all 746 pages of the Commissioner's report, but it seems to me that the accusations in relation to acting unlawfully stem from a difference in legal opinion. The Commissioner has one view, the Commonwealth legal advice that the Murray-Darling Basin Authority took at the time, which was in 2012, well before I was involved, well before the Commission was involved, was to the contrary. So me and the 280 staff that work in the Murray-Darling Basin Authority are essentially caught between competing legal opinions here.
Well, you and the staff you work with have been damned by this report, as I say, findings of maladministration, unlawfulness, misinterpreting the Water Act. Earlier this morning here on Breakfast, we spoke with Richard Beasley, SC, counsel assisting the Royal Commission, and I asked him whether the commissioner was recommending that people like you in your position should be removed. Here's what he said.
The commissioner certainly makes a finding that he thinks it's questionable whether the Murray-Darling Basin Authority is capable or willing of fulfilling its statutory obligations.
Are you suggesting that people running the authority need to be removed?
I think I've got to leave it with what the commissioner has said because it's his report, but he's perhaps saying that in a very polite legal way.
So that's Richard Beasley, SC. And this morning we have the Greens spokesperson, Sarah Hanson-Young, calling for you personally to be removed. Philip Glyde, is your position untenable given the findings of this Royal Commission?
Well, others will decide that, Fran, but in the 3 years that I've been in this job, I've not met a single individual or an interest group that actually likes the plan. And it seems to me the Commissioner is just the most recent addition to that group. By the same token, I've not met anyone that wants to go back to where we were prior to 2012. This is a world-leading, first-time-ever-in-Australia opportunity to protect our iconic rivers and to maintain the nation's food bowl that provides 40% of the food and fibre to Australians. This is it's unprecedented to see six governments in agreement for many years, bipartisan. That agreement has stayed in place despite changes of government at all levels, and it's got $13 billion, as you mentioned, that back it. This is our one chance in the locker to save the Murray-Darling Basin and make sure that it serves the values of all Australians, not just the environmental groups, not just industry, not just Aboriginal interests, but everyone in this country.
No, but just the fact that nobody likes the plan could be a hint that perhaps the plan needs adjusting. Even Richard Beasley, when I spoke to him earlier, says the Murray-Darling Basin agreement is our best bet, but that doesn't mean it's perfect, and the Royal Commission is calling on you to go back and reconsider the science, reconsider the sustainable
diversion limits
in the light of climate change predictions, for instance, which he says were not taken into account and should have, under the law, been taken into account. Is it possible to adjust the plan, to get around the table and rework the plan, look at the science again without chucking the whole plan out? No one's calling for the whole thing to be dissolved.
And that's what we hope, though there are some people who are calling to stop, and I think the people...
Well, not the Royal Commission.
No, but the people who didn't support the plan in 2012 continue not to support the plan, continue to give evidence to people like the Royal Commissioner. It's no surprise that they're coming back again. It's deja vu all over again.
Some of those scientists who gave advice to the Royal Commission, advice presumably you don't agree with, aren't saying the ditch the plan and have nothing, they're saying the plan got it wrong. The plan put politics ahead of science, which is what the Royal Commissioner found as well.
No, I think what everyone's saying is that the plan needs to be capable of change, and guess what? The plan is capable of change. In fact, it was amended in Parliament last year to improve the plan, to be able to make sure we actually got good economic, environmental and social outcomes.
Wasn't the change last year, didn't that take more money, more water from the environmental flows?
No. What we're trying to do is maximise the environmental outcomes and social and economic outcomes within the setting of a sustainable basin. And the argument that the Commissioner, Mr Walker, has derived is that the original setting of that number is right. If that's true, and as time goes on, more information will come in. We will learn more about climate change, and the plan is actually capable of change. It's got these review steps in it. In fact, we haven't actually even implemented the plan. It was started in 2012. It's fully implemented in 2024, and then from that point on, We will be continuing to adjust. But
sure, but if something's not working, you'd be a mug to wait 12 years just to find out that it's still not working, wouldn't you?
Exactly. And in order to change the plan, of course, Fran, you need the agreement of the Commonwealth Parliament, and you also need the agreement of all of the state parliaments, because this is a compact. Under the Constitution, the state governments are responsible for water. Mm. We work with the states. That the whole plan, and why you see, I think we've seen yesterday afternoon, you've seen all of the state ministers come out to support the plan. Why is that? Because it is a vehicle that everyone will support. It will go forward. We will improve our knowledge base. We did not ignore climate change. That's a complete furphy. We considered climate change. We got the best advice we could from CSIRO that said you can't be precise at a catchment level about how that catchment will change. We know it'll get hotter and drier in the south, and we know it'll get hotter in the north, but we don't know whether it's going to get wetter.
Let's hear from Richard Beazer, because I asked him that this morning. He made that as the Royal Commission accuses the authority of ignoring the potentially, quote, catastrophic risks of climate change, of refusing to take into account the later CSIRO forecasts of climate change. You said that's not true. I put that to Richard Beazley this morning. Let's hear what he said.
Rubbish. Rubbish. Philip Glyde can say what he likes about climate change. The key for the Basin Plan, the most important thing about it, is reaching the figure of water that needs to be returned to the environment. On that crucial issue, they have ignored climate change for years.
Now, that's Richard Beazley, the councillor assisting the Royal Commission. The commission shows the authority ignored the CSIRO's advice in 2009 to include its climate change projections in the formulation of the plan. Is that true? And will you suggest or recommend now adjusting the plan and the planned flows with the latest CSIRO advice on climate change projections?
Well, first of all, it's not correct. Secondly, we're constantly working on all aspects to improve the plan. In fact, we're not far away from releasing a report in relation to the further work that is needed in the research community for climate change. And so the point I want to make, Fran, is that because we're talking about turning around 100 years of overuse in a relatively short period of time, you don't get those wins overnight. What we have to do is go forward with the plan that we've got. When we get the new science, when we get new information, update it with the agreement of all of those states that I've mentioned before, and then you continue to improve. It's got review steps every 10 years. It's got review steps every 5 years for different things. We're reviewed to death, which is a good thing, because what we want to do is bring the best available science. If anything's there that we need to know about, we'll act on it, and we will be recommending it, as we've done right through. Our job is with the umpire. You're a sport follower. You know that the only person that gets criticised, that everyone agrees is doing the wrong thing in a game of football, is the umpire. And that's our job. Our role is to hold the states to account, to hold the Commonwealth to account, and to bring forward new information. And that's what we've been doing for the last 6 years. When the plan's fully implemented in 2024, we'll be in a position then to have a look. Do we need to make a change? Do we need to make other changes? And, of course, we can make changes between now and 2024 if the evidence comes forward.
Okay, and that's what the Royal Commission is asking for. You're listening to our RN Breakfast. It's 8:15. Philip Glyde is the chief executive of the Murray-Darling Basin Authority. Apart from accusing the authority of maladministration and unlawfulness, the Royal Commissioner also accused the Royal Commission of secrecy. Now, you didn't give evidence to the Royal Commission. You've been accused of being secretive about the science that you rely on. Why didn't you give evidence? And how can you criticise now for the Royal Commission, you know, leaning too heavily on some views when you didn't even bother?
Well, that's not quite right either. So what happened, the way in which the Commissioner went about organising his inquiry caused the Commonwealth to have concerns about Commonwealth public servants appearing before a state Royal Commission. The Commonwealth referred that matter to the High Court. That meant that we weren't in a position to be able to provide any information, oral or written, at that stage. The High Court proceedings were discontinued. And there was the question of whether or not the Commonwealth should appear or not was unresolved because of that. So what we did at that stage was we provided a comprehensive submission. My early observation about the Commissioner's report is that he doesn't seem to have given the same weight to the views we've put in our written submission he has to some of the oral evidence, and I can understand the frustration that he must feel with that. But at the end of the day, we will stand on a record. If there's any wrongdoing that is evident, and I haven't finished the report, but I haven't seen any individuals within the Murray-Darling Basin Authority called out for unlawful activity. If anyone's got any information, please bring it forward. Provide it to the Public Service Commissioner. I've got 280 public servants, many of long years standing, who are committed to the implementation of this reform, and they are not pleased that throwaway lines about acting unlawfully that reflects on their reputations. And just, I think it's very unfortunate.
Can I just ask you finally, Philip Glyde, we are where we are right now, and this Royal Commission report with all these recommendations falls in the same weeks and month we've seen these major fish kills on the Lower Darling River. Yeah. So the country is focused on this, many people very distressed by something clearly going wrong in the system. Is that trigger enough, this convergence of these two things, to get all the players urgently, COAG players, around the table to look at revising the terms of the plan?
Well, that's certainly, we'd support that. I know the South Australian Premier has called for a meeting of COAG to look at the conclusions of the Royal Commission to make sure that we deal with them properly. And I think that's entirely appropriate. We certainly will be providing our own response when we've had the chance to consider the report in detail and show it the respect it deserves. But I think what we have to do is learn from these things. As I said before, the plan is capable of change, and we need to, if there's good evidence that needs to change, then let's bring it forward. Okay. We've got nothing to hide.
Philip Glyde, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Trent.
Philip Glyde is the Chief Executive of the Murray-Darling Basin Authority, and that point he made there about the staff at the authority feeling really pretty angry and upset, I think, at these terms have been thrown at them of unlawfulness and maladministration. One of you agrees too. A listener's written in and saying the Murray-Darling Basin plan will not be served by blaming bureaucrats. Politicians must be held accountable, or we lose faith.